I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Oh, good golly, Miss Molly. Welcome to the first live broadcast for the Autumn Windbags, first live post-game show for the Autumn Windbags. I'm RJ Clifford.
Oh, God.
Let's have some fun tonight. Good Miss Molly. Did we pick the right time to do a live post-game show? That was
one of
the most incredible football games I've seen in seasons, period, regardless of the Raiders getting the W, Soto. That was mind-blowing. It was Derek Carr shaking off ring rust. The whole offense just covered in rust in that first quarter and a half. Defense of all people bailing us out, getting turnovers when we need to. Lamar Jackson being himself but still not being enough. Daniel Carlson with the 50-plus yarder, and then John Gruden with the biggest balls on planet Earth going for the bomb to Zay Jones. I'm not even going to bring up Leatherwood. I'm not going to bring up the injuries. We are just going to relish in one of the greatest Raiders moments that we've seen in decade. I mean, it's been a long time since we did something that special.
This brings me back to the 2016 Saints game. The two-point conversion to Crabtree, but amplified. There's a lot more things. There's a lot of question marks that were answered today. What's going to happen with the crowd? Is it going to be too corporate? Fuck no. That place was fucking loud and not a mask to be seen inside. Everyone's vaxxed, not giving a fuck. That place was fucking rocking. They were fucking smart. When we had the ball, they shut the fuck up. When the Ravens had the ball, they were going crazy. That was two of the best. Sorry to say, that was two of the best celebrations I've ever seen a Raider freaking crowd have. It was so good. And you know what? I text you and Rory. I'm like, don't do it to me again.
Yeah.
Like, just don't. Like, I can't. This fucking team has let me down so many times. And it's like, it can't be this way. It can't be. There's too many things going in our favor. There's too many things that we had to overcome today for it to end on this stupid shit on fucking Willie Snead not just wrapping his hands around this football. And
33-27 Raiders over Ravens, overtime score. The Raiders scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. And of course, Zay Jones picked up that overtime touchdown to get the 6-point lead. Derek Carr, 34 of 56, 56 pass attempts.
Yeah.
For Derek Carr, 435 yards, 2 touchdowns. And like you mentioned, the interception, not his fault.
Not his fault.
Willie Snead, once a Raven, always a Raven, it feels like.
Fucking
just
motherfucker.
That overtime alone is going to be talked about for weeks. And wherever this season goes for the Raiders, right? Whether we, you know, go to the playoffs, we fall off, you know, I don't know where the season's going to go, but we'll always look back at this first Monday night game of week one, first game at Allegiant Stadium with fans and just everything that happened. Like, what a better way to kick off this season. So the Raiders can either use this moment to say, all right, we had Ngakoue got hurt. McCoy got hurt. Carr was rusty to start. All of our receivers were rusty to start. Even Waller was dropping a bunch of passes. We overcame it. Our defense came up big. Our defensive line came up big. Backups came up big. Jonathan Abram played lights out. Max Crosby played lights out. They came together as a team. They're like, look, there's a ton of stuff to look over on film. A ton of stuff that they did terrible, but they can look and say, we overcame all of those errors and got this dub.
The Ravens are a good fucking team, man.
Yeah.
To have missing who they had missing, you couldn't really tell that they were missing a lot of guys. They are fucking deep, and they are well coached, and that's a good team we just beat, and that means we're a good team. We went toe to toe. That's how you beat good teams. You wear them out. You wear them out at the end, and at the end, they didn't have any problems in the offensive line. So let's not start talking shit about, oh, well, they had all these injuries. They didn't have any injuries on the offensive line. All right, let's just be clear about that.
It was a new offensive line, but no injuries.
No. Is that live?
That's a look, not live.
Okay, about to say this place.
We're going live, and so I'm doing like, oh, you can do some B-roll. I'm fiddling with this new setup that we got. But look at this. Look at this stadium. I don't know if I buy what you said. There were times when the Raiders were like doing the wave when McCoy was getting carted off. They were cheering when we were on offense. It's like this Las Vegas Raiders fan base like still got a hat. There's some growing pains with them too. They still got to learn how with the proper etiquette. Yeah, it'll give them some time, but they'll figure it out.
Our defensive line beat the living shit out of their offensive line.
Yeah.
All right. If not for a couple of long runs by Lamar Jackson, they would have had just over 100 yards. But that's how they are. That's their offense. They wouldn't have had almost 200 because of fucking Lamar Jackson. But dude, that's what we needed defensively. And that's honestly, we've been talking about it since we started this podcast. We need to make sure that we can get those teams on the defensive end to be able to make those big plays. And that's an MVP fucking quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
That we just made fumble twice. And here's the thing. This is the new Raiders, guys. This isn't the 1970s, 80s Raiders. We take all the cast-offs and all the I don't want these people from other teams, and they still party and drink and get all fucked up and still play again on Sunday. These are the teams that did have the cast-offs. Mm-hmm. We are the first openly gay player. We have a couple of guys who were, you know, outed as recovering addicts. But they still went in there and they played and they made it happen, man. Dude, that's right. Defense came up huge. Fucking the offense fucking licked balls in the first half. I'm not going to dwell on it. Carr bounced back. I told you guys in the fourth quarter, I'm going to drive it. Like, dude, if you want to have Carr be up there, if you want to have Carr be up there at the top level of quarterbacks, he needs to make this shit happen. He can't, and to his credit, even though he was a little bit wild in the first half, he was pushing the ball down the field. And look what happens. The last Edwards play where that was almost a touchdown, we just got caught on the half yard line. That's how Edwards plays. He's not going to overwhelm you with his route running ability. He'll get better at it, which he did, you know, the previous drive. But he's the jump ball guy. And that's what he did. That's what he did in South Carolina. He was a jump ball guy. He was a monster. He went up against one of the better corners in the league, smoked them. Zay Jones did the exact same thing. So even though, like you talked about, the receivers going a little bit dormant in the first half, I think not until the end of the second quarter, almost the end of halftime, no receivers caught balls. It was Renfro that caught the first ball late into the second quarter. Man, they came up huge when they needed to. That was a great win. Good job with the defense, man.
Brian Edwards and Henry Ruggs just like hiding until late fourth quarter and overtime. And then Brian Edwards with a couple of big ones. Obviously, we thought it was the touchdown catch in overtime. Or I'm sorry, in overtime to end the game.
Yeah.
Leather, you know, down at the one, like, okay, we'll punch it in. Leatherwood, false start. And I texted you guys. Leatherwood
That's
was one
who
of
he
most,
is, man.
He was one of the most penalized tackles in football in college.
His last 2 years, he had 17 penalties. That's like a grip for a tackle. That's a lot.
That's gonna be an issue. And like I said, like this is gonna have to be like a 9-hour post-game show to fit everything into that we need. We're not gonna go that long. So we'll stick with the positive, and then we'll work back on some of the stuff that we need to look at. Jonathan Abram, holy hell, man, the way that guy came back. Jonathan Abram ended with 10 tackles, 5 solo, 1 pass is defended. He made some big, big stops. He was all over the field. I mean, every single pile, every single group tackle, he was like in there. He was coming off of piles every time. And what I loved about Jonathan Abram is he was still himself. He was still running in there like a bat out of hell. He was still being physical. He was still being energetic, but with just 17% constraint, with 37% smarter. Like, he was in coverage he was supposed to. I said, like, one of the very first tackles that he had, it should have been a tackle for like a 4-yard gain, but he took a bad angle, became like a 12-yard gain. I'm like, it's still old Jonathan Abram. Nope, that was the only time he did that. After that, just lights out all game long. Huge props for Jonathan Abram, who was literally the worst safety in football last season. And in a game where Max Crosby's probably the defensive MVP today, but Jonathan Abram made a case for being 1A, 1B.
Abram, it's so before we start getting a little silly here and saying, oh, you were wrong about Abram. I was not wrong about Abram. I was talking about his production up until today. Mm. I had high hopes for him. If we wanted to get to where we wanted to get to, he had to play better. His skill set, that's the Cam Chancellor role. That's the Derwin James role. That's the role that Abram plays. And he needed to be that heat-seeking missile under control. He played good defense on that toss into the end zone on Andrews. Dude, what a great job we did on Mark Andrews, man.
Yeah.
This kid is a top five fucking tight end. He's not some slouch guy. Oh, yeah, well, he's just some guy that they have. No, this guy's a legit player, and we handcuffed his ass. Great job, Abram.
Three receptions for 20 yards. That's it, yeah. Mark Andrews.
Yeah. Great job. And that's what this defense has to do. We have to handcuff the best players on the other team. We have
The passing game was almost non-existent for Lamar Jackson. I mean, other than Marquise Brown's, you know, touchdown catch. I mean, Sammy Watkins, 4 receptions, Tyson Williams, 3 receptions, Mark Andrews, like I mentioned, 3 receptions. I mean, and it's true, like our defensive line played so great that everyone else played better behind it, right? Like when there's pressure on Lamar Jackson, he's going to make worse throws. It's easier for our DBs to thwart it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like it all kind of builds off of that defensive line. Remember when Sanjeet T came on our show 2 weeks ago and said, I think we're going to have a top 10 defensive line. I was like, whoa, it looked like it. It might be. Yannick Ngakoue, and again, Max Crosby living in the backfield of Baltimore. He was held so many times.
Carl Nassib, what the fuck? Where the fuck did that come from?
Yep.
He got one sack, the very big sack at the end of the game, but he was in the backfield all night too. He was chasing down ball carries and he was pushing back. Crosby getting
3 guys in the backfield. Yep. Crosby getting held. That's the touchdown pass, the single touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson. But
I don't want to talk about Arnett. He totally lost where he was. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
We got Wednesday's show to look about at the holes in the game that we got to worry about. But and Lamar Jackson played at an MVP level. He played. It was the same guy that played at Super Bowl level. And I get it. Yeah, there was their whole defensive back or their whole running back core was completely obliterated. No good wide receivers anyway. But Lamar Jackson played lights out and we still held him.
That's a typical Lamar Jackson game. Has a couple big runs. His big runs make a couple of big passes. And one stat that I am really encouraged by here is we had the same yards per play as the Ravens. As many times as you want to say, oh, the Ravens have these big, huge plays and this and that. Well, we had the same yards per play as the Ravens had today. So we're pushing the ball more down the field. When we got away from what we needed to get away from and we got down big, Carr was still doing he's still doing his thing about deking and dunking. He pushed the ball down the field second half and he played lights out in the second half, man. That interception was not his fault. You know, he had a couple of drops.
Even Waller, like he had some kind of bad drops. Like, I mean, again, Waller, like he put the game on his shoulders, got us, you know, 10 receptions, was huge in the game. But seriously, that note, not doing a preseason, like you roll the dice, right? Okay. Yeah. We had no starters injured in preseason games. Okay, good. But that rust was very, very apparent everywhere. Like remember with the one play where there was 2 guys in motion, Andre James snapped the ball when Carr wasn't ready. Like, that was the perfect like epitome of what was going on that first quarter and a half when just everyone just was just lost because they hadn't played any football since last season.
James scared me too, man. He had a couple of penalties and that muff snap. We need to clean that up. So young guys, first game, new stadium. I get it, hyped up, but we need to fix that. But yeah, I agree, man. Mike, I agree. I just said it right now. O-line is a concern of ours.
Andre James did pretty well in pass protection. He whiffed a lot. He whiffed a lot run blocking, and I think he had 3 holding calls?
Like 2 holding calls.
At least 2, I think
snap,
maybe 3.
And that snap, and that bad snap. Mm. It's something that we need to – these are young guys. The good teams overcome these things. If the Ravens would have won, we would be saying, you know what? A good teams overcome injuries. Good teams overcome setbacks. Same thing with us. We're a good team. We overcame these setbacks. We overcame these mental mistakes. We overcame these drops. I was really nervous, man, when it was 7-0 still in the second quarter, in the beginning of the second quarter, and Carr checked down the thing that Sanjeet and I have been talking about. When he has to move his feet a little bit, Carr is too quick to check down, and when he has plays down the field, he had a wide when I say wide open Darren Waller, I'm talking he jogs into the end zone.
Yeah.
He was that wide open down the
seam. He missed Ruggs. That was Ruggs was that open a couple plays before that too. First quarter and a half, Carr was
God damn.
Worst I've ever seen Derek Carr, really I think, bad. In a quarter really and a half. Like he was that bad. But again,
but to his credit, he got better.
He's clutch. So can we please acknowledge that he's super clutch? Can you admit that he is super clutch?
Clutch today? He played definitely played clutch.
He has more comeback wins in the fourth quarter and overtime than any quarterback in football except for Matthew Stafford in the last seven seasons.
He killed it today.
Like, he's as clutch as they get. Like he, not just today, like consistently. This proved again to me that how like poisonous Paul Gunther was to the Raiders defense. Like, I can't believe how often the Raiders D bailed out the Raiders offense this time. Like, it was literally the Raiders D keeping this game close in the first half, and they never let up. They never let up. Those turnovers late were huge at Lamar Jackson. The stops were huge. Just that, like, just think of that sequence. Like, we needed a stop. Was it 55 yarder that Daniel Carlson kicked? Got the stop after that, got the turnover. Like, it was just like, it was a phenomenal performance by this defense. Like, that was an above average defense that played today. And that's a huge, huge upgrade by Raiders defensive standards.
Look, that was save for a few miscues. Great defenses, very good defenses don't make those little miscues. The Littleton getting caught in the wash on that fourth down run, that was all Littleton's fault, right?
Yeah,
that
Corey Littleton over pursued, and it was just like, fourth and one, up the middle for touchdown.
He did it twice, and he needs to get better. That aside, this was a very good performance against an MVP who still has good weapons around him to hold him to 27 points. That's a good offense. They're going to score a lot of points. With the cheat code from Lamar Jackson, they're going to score a lot of points, and to hold and to make him fumble the ball twice. He doesn't fumble a lot. For as much as he runs, he doesn't fumble the ball a lot. And he fumbled both ways that he could fumble. He fumbled trying to run the ball, knocked it out, and he fumbled in the pocket. Did a good job for the most part. He's going to get his runs, man. He's an MVP. He's a top player in the league. He's one of the best athletes in the NFL at any position.
Lamar Jackson, 19 of 30 for 235 yards, one passing touchdown. He was sacked three times for a loss of 18 yards, 12 carries, 86 yards, 7.2 yard average. That's
how
good. That's again, what do you want to do? Lamar Jackson. That's Lamar Jackson being good. That's Lamar Jackson being good. And like, look, next week, I don't want to think too far ahead, but the pressure that we had against the sacks that we got against a moving quarterback and arguably like the hardest to sack quarterback Lamar Jackson, wait till we get in Big Ben's face next week. Wait till we get to Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger's stationary Big Ben, who can't move, is going to face this pass rush. That's going to be sweet.
That does Max Crosby with two sacks today. Mm-hmm. Nassib chipped in with a sack. A lot of hits, a lot of hurries, a lot of pressures.
Five quarterback hits for Max Crosby. Five.
He was living in the backfield.
Five.
Man. And Nassib missed Nassib pushed back the tackle. Villanueva one time, and who was the other guy? What's his name? Like on the other side, just bull rushed him and pushed him in and bumped Lamar. If he had a longer arm, he probably just grabbed him. But man,
and props to the restraint for the NBC crew. They only mentioned Darren Waller, Max Crosby's sobriety 4,322 times. Like that's a lot of restraint. I thought they were going to do at least 10,000 times mentioned, but that was it. Very proud of them.
No, yeah.
How bad do you want Bruce Buffer's jacket in that open? How sweet did he look in that intro?
First off, I am so impressed is it going to be hokey? Is it going to be, how is it going to be with the DJ?
No. Fuck, dude. Listen, Steve Aoki's there doing it. Steve Bruce Aoki, Buffer doing the intro.
Steve Aoki putting the helmet on, fucking throwing up the fucking horns. Bro, come on, man.
Hindsight's 2020. I would have paid 10 grand for a seat in that stadium tonight, to be there.
Game time. 5 minutes before game, it was 176 to get you in the stadium. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the first quarter, it was 140. 140 in the middle of the first quarter gets you in the game.
Josh Jacobs looked like he was beat up a little bit. That right foot of his was kind of booked, like taped up. He played good when we needed him to. He had 10 carries for 34 yards, really low average, 2 touchdowns. And I think Jacobs is going to be streaky for us. I think like there were certain points where it's like, if there's no hole, he got no yardage and he was just completely dependent on the O-line. And there are other times when he was just really fighting for yards, moving well. It's like super hot and cold with him, I think. And that's how it's going to be all season.
You know, he's hurt, man. He's hurt. And it's, dude, this was fucking sick. Did you watch this?
No, I didn't watch it. I wasn't watching the game at all. No, I didn't watch the Manning thing. I was watching the actual one.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. It was pretty good. I liked it. I watched it for a little bit, and then I wanted to stop hearing fucking Eli's nasally fucking. I don't want to hear that shit. But it was good, man.
When you play in New Jersey and it smells that bad, you got to be a mouth breather. So Eli Manning was just a move they had to do.
Yeah. Well, as far as Jacobs goes, he was hurt, man. He gave us what he could when he could. And then he had to come out, you know, he had to come out and rest and heal up and get some treatment on that foot. But when we needed him, he was out there. So, it was a team win. Fucking Mariota even went out there. Did he fucking get concussed? Did you see that when he stood up after he got tackled? Like, he looked a little funky. He looked a little wobbly.
It was weird. Like, how successful that one play they did with Mariota was. I'm like, oh, sweet. Now defenses have to prepare for Mariota and Carr. Like, who knows how often, but did one play and then no more. That's definitely something.
You, yeah, he got tackled hard, and his head hit the ground hard. I think maybe
is that not the most Mariota, like Mariota on the Raiders thing that ever could have happened? Like, oh, here's this like really cool play that we did just for him, and it went great, and he's hurt. We can't use him anymore.
Oh man, Gerald McCoy, dude, that broke my
enjoy
heart.
Your million. Man. Gerald McCoy went out on a cart. Yannick Ngakoue got taken out, didn't come
He'll
back in.
He just tweaked his hammy a little bit. I think
Denzel Good went down on the very first drive, came back late in the second quarter, went out again. I'm very curious on what his status is going to be. So injury report, not great. Mariota maybe. Jacobs a little dinged up. McCoy, that when you're on the cart, it's like minimum injured reserve. We'll see. You know, knock on wood, that's something less. Hopefully he'll do well, or, you know, he'll be able to come back from that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the night belonged to that defense, man. That night belonged to our defense.
Belongs to Max Crosby, dude.
Max Crosby, Jonathan Abram.
If you guys want to hear the definition or see the definition in living form of a coming out party, that was Max Crosby's coming out party. People didn't know who Max, this is the last game, the entire league, you can on Twitter, the entire league was watching. Everybody's tweeting, dude, Max Crosby is legit. Max Crosby is the truth. And to rub salt in the wound of that pick, Cleveland Farrell was a healthy scratch at the number 4 pick of that draft, and a 4th round, 106th pick in that draft, is balling.
Yeah.
Balling out. And he shut my mouth, dude, because I said, you know what? He's not that quick twitchy guy. Bullshit. Bullshit, he's not. The work that he was doing, they talked about him beating Gruden to the stadium every single day, to the facility every single day. And it shows, man, he didn't get tired. The offense that he was wearing, wherever he was wearing that offensive line out. Big coming out party for Max Crosby, man. Big coming out party for Max. We'll have to get him on the show one of these days.
He earned at least 4 hand jobs from you, Soto. At least. He earned it.
Look, I pepper grinder, and I'll give him a foot job too. Yeah. Fuck it.
Definitely. Definitely double-handed Western hand grip style. How about special teams lights out? AJ Cole just crushing punts every single time out. Daniel Carlson with a 50-something yarder.
Fuck.
Special teams was lights out. So here's what I'm hoping, those early hiccups was purely just rust. Hopefully that's the case. And then now that, like, once they've got a whole game, an emotional game, an overtime game in their system, all that rust is off. You've ripped off the Band-Aid. Now it's all systems go. Now it's just a matter of maintaining and, like, keeping your emotions in check, right? Short week, flying all the way to Pittsburgh, right, on Sunday, afternoon game. This is where John Gruden's coaching and all the problems that we had last year. Yeah, it was when we fell apart late the last two seasons. Depth was a big part of it, but it's also maintaining your emotions and keeping your head in the right place. This is where the Raiders can prove that they've overcome that with the big challenge of going all the way to the Steelers next week. Short week, emotional win in primetime, Monday Night Football. Can they keep the hangover? Can they keep this being some sort of, like, crappy, like, trap game for them after an emotional win? That's their goal this week. Get healthy and keep your mind right.
Yeah, the main thing we got to focus on right now is the rest of this day today, we enjoy this win. Yep. We enjoy what we've done. We don't look at the
go hug your kids, pet your dog, bang your wife, drink your booze. That's what we're doing tonight. That's all we're doing.
Bang your wife at the same time if you want to. Get in there. Just
if your wife was a good wife, she'd invite the girlfriend in for tonight after a win like that.
Yeah, man. The main thing.
You didn't like that one? Scoot right past that.
Look, man.
Don't worry, Vicky doesn't listen to this show.
Okay. Start healing tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. That's the main thing we got to focus on. Start healing tomorrow. Once we're all healed up, guys that are hurt, they're already at home. Get the training table. Get your boo-boos listened up, worked on. And, let's get ready for Pittsburgh, man. That's what we got to do.
With let's just acknowledge this freaking, like, the way this game ended, right? Let's just acknowledge this for a second. Let's just walk through what happened. Raiders are down 17-10. Fumble recovery, 5 plays, touchdown. Baltimore gets the ball, touchdown. Raiders get the ball, 9 plays, 220, touchdown. Ravens, 8 plays, 3 minutes, field goal. Raiders, 5 plays, 38 yards, field goal to get the half. Interception for the Raiders, fumble by the Ravens, 2 plays, 27 yards, touchdown. After Alex Leatherwood's false start, after what we thought Brian Edwards was a touchdown, you're thinking, okay, for sure, John Gruden at this end is just going to, like, do one more run play. They'll get it back. Nope. Throw it to Zay Jones deep, just win it by a touchdown. Like, that was maybe the worst coached end of a football game I've ever seen by both coaches and by all parties involved. It was freaking nuts.
So the very last play, the thing that I like about what we're doing is we went deep on third and short quite a bit, and it worked quite a bit. Yeah. And those are things that I've been pining for. You have the weapons, you have the quarterback, push the ball down the field out of the formations that show it's going to be a jumbo package or a short yardage play. You can get those plays. And it's like, use some of the spice, man. Use some of the spice. We were the best team at third and long last year and the worst at third and one. Okay, well, call the plays. You call them on third and long then. And they worked. The thing I like, if it would have been third down, Gruden wouldn't have thrown that ball. He would have been like, you know what? Let's just fucking run the ball, get in the middle of the field or get on the hash that you want, and then we'll kick it from there. But you know what? Second down, fuck it. We got 2 more plays until we have to kick this fucking thing. We can run it the next play. All right? Let's just take this shot. Zay Jones, I mean, what can you say, man? What can you say? Step up. You step up when it's needed, and we did. It's a roller coaster.
Spit it out, Soto. I know you're excited. I can see it in your face.
Because, dude, I was literally about to look for my Costco-sized bottle of Tylenol and end it all today. I couldn't do it anymore. So, you know, I can't.
Crunching them up, snorting some.
I was just going to down the whole thing.
Some. some suppositories for some of them. That's just for fun.
A couple. Yeah, yep. just to cover all bases.
That closing sequence took 10 years off my life. Just the absolute mess that closing sequence was between the touchdown that wasn't, the false start.
Here's the big takeaway from all this.
Okay.
The big takeaway is we didn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't let circumstances dictate our reality. We didn't let bad circumstances dictate our outcome. And that's what teams in the past of the Raiders have done. That's what lack of leadership will allow you to do. Max Crosby, when the Raiders got the interception, Max Crosby was nodding his head like, all right, cool. I get to go back out there. Like he was like, all right, good.
Yep.
We're going to get this. We're going to stop him. We're going to get the ball back. Everything's going to be good. Don't trip. We're good. Chewing on his mouthpiece like, all right, cool. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's and that's where like the
Fang.
About
Carr today. He's fucking killing me over here. Fucking awesome, dude. I fucking love that guy.
Derek Carr. Now this is after he played like absolute dog shit for a quarter and a half. Like keep that in mind. Like he played that's 17, 18 minutes. That quarter and a half was the worst I've ever seen Derek Carr. Because even like the things he's normally like he's really good at, pre-snap reads, you know, things like that, he was still screwing that up, right?
Yeah.
Ring rust, no preseason. I put that on Gruden, right? This is his stat line, even with that crappy first quarter and a half. 56 attempts, 34 completions, 435 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception that wasn't his fault. 3 sacks for 20, 3 sacks that he lost as well. No fumbles at a Derek Carr, interception that wasn't his fault. That's it for turnovers for the Raiders. Yep. And of course, we got the 2 fumble recoveries off of Lamar Jackson. This is going to be like if we can't run the ball like we couldn't tonight. And again, the Ravens defense is like a really, really good run defense. So I'm not convinced that running the ball will be a major problem for us like forever. But if we can't run the ball that well, we're going to see a lot of like 56 attempt games at a Derek Carr because we're going to be in these games if this defense can play as well as they did tonight.
Yeah, that's we need to make sure we can get Jacobs healthy. It's going to be a big deal for our offense to be able to do that. Now, Carr has shown today against a good defense, he's shown that he is capable of winning a game for you offensively.
Carr?
Carr.
Yeah, he's done it 100 times.
No. Wait. I'm not saying
second most fourth quarter and overtime comebacks since he's been in the league. Like, I don't know what else you need to see. Like he's got plenty of issues, but you always put
you always blame him for stuff that's not his fault. I'm not blaming him for what? What am I blaming him for? What am I blaming him for?
Finish your
thought. Why finish my thought? Why? Okay, I'm gonna say something about Carr, and then you turn it into me saying something shitty about Carr. Okay, blah 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 blah. Okay, go.
So I can't believe you hate Derek Carr. I don't get it. It's not fair. He makes everyone around him better. He's a leader. The guy that we want.
Great job, man. Great job today by Carr. Did you get that
random?
Like I sent you?
Foster Moreau? Not a peep. Not a single thing out of him.
You know He blocked his ass off. He was probably our third best offensive lineman today. He really helped Leatherwood. Okay, guys, listen up, guys. Listen up. Those people who were defending the Leatherwood pick, he was not good on pass protection, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Mental mistakes. He had that fucking false start on the 1 yard line. And he had holding penalties. He had pre-snap penalties. Dude, we had to take Foster Moreau out of the offense to help him block.
Yep.
All right? So we need to clean that up. Hopefully with experience, he'll get better at it. But honestly, he's probably going to be who he's going to be. He's probably not going to be the best pass defender. Blocker, run blocking he was good. Run blocking he was pancaking people, but let's just call it what it was today. Derek Carr fucking saved our ass. Max Crosby nasted that defensive front, saved our ass.
Denzel Perryman 10 tackles. Corey Littleton 10 tackles. Jonathan Abram 10 tackles. Max Crosby 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 quarterback hits. I mean, talk about all three levels of football showing who the leaders are, right? And none of them had perfect games, right?
No.
Max was pretty close. But none of them had perfect. None of them had perfect games, but they all, like, we're starting to see who the leaders are. We're starting to see Gus Bradley's simple defense, B be an athlete, run to the ball, have fun. You're starting to see that, right? Like if it was the imagine that fourth quarter with that Willie Snead interception and just the absolute emotional kick in the dick that the whole team got. And it was Paul Gunther just grumpy in the corner, like grumpy on the sideline, calling the defense. Like, this is something to really build on for Gus Bradley's crew. Like, this is really something I think that they can all look themselves in the mirror and say, we screwed up a lot of times in a lot of ways, but we still recovered and got this W.
Yeah, and this is when you see both sides of the ball. They can rely on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, and no one got down. No one was, like, hanging their head. I understand what Lamar Jackson was doing because he fumbled earlier in the quarter and whatever, and he had his towel over his head like the game's over.
Yeah.
Well, when we turned the ball over, right, and they were started moving the ball down the field a little bit, no one was hanging their head. Mm-hmm. No one was saying it was over. We hadn't really slowed them down that much towards the end of the game. They were able to move the ball down the field and get a field goal. That's all they needed. They needed to get, what, maybe 30, 40 yards? And Tucker fucking was going to go in there and just kick the shit out of that ball. So, God damn it. When you have a team playing as a team and lifting each other up, say, hey, man, Max Crosby and the defense can stand up and say, hey, guys, we got your back. Don't trip. When we need to make a play, that's how you make a play.
How?
Hey, Sanjeet in the house.
Sanjeet, best friend of the show. I'm so glad that Darren Waller and Max Crosby don't drink because they're going to need their rest. 19 targets for Darren Waller. Max Crosby living in the backfield for 4.5 quarters. I mean, those guys, they get them a rub down, get them two strippers, one on their face, one on their dick. Let them sleep in tomorrow. They've earned it. And then we get ready for going for Pittsburgh. Like, talk about, like, how many calories do you think they burned? Like 2,000 calories each? It's a nuts night.
That's fucking crazy how much the motor that Max Crosby has. And the good thing about this game being a Monday night game, a mm-hmm. big game, just all everything that went into it, the crowd, the stadium. Finally, Al Davis got what he wanted. What he wanted for his whole entire time owning the Raiders. I want a world-class stadium. Can I get we're a franchise. We're a world-class franchise. Can I get a world-class stadium? Finally has it. They show up. No fans. Oh, we can't have fans. Mark's like, I'm not going either. If my fans can't come, I'm a part of Raider Nation too. That's a baller move, by the way. He comes in there, got deep fucking Steve Aoki, you got fucking Bruce Buffer, just fucking getting everyone's dicks hard. Max Crosby being called out almost every single play. Max Crosby look at Max Crosby beating the tackle. Max Crosby with the sack. Max Crosby with the pressure. Max Crosby with the tackle. Like, he was all over the place, man. He is no longer a secret in the NFL. This guy is a prime time player. Raiders, sign this man to an extension now before he keeps getting this exposure and keeps causing us even more money in the future. Get this guy a Waller deal ASAP.
So the guys we won't end the show in a negative, but I do want to mention, like, the big issues I had today, obviously Willie Snead, and that he gets one attempt and bounces off his chest. That should have been the game winner right there. Game over, right? Ruggs and Edwards coming on late. Leatherwood and James, they're going to need some work.
They need to get better. There's no two ways around it. They need to get better. They did not play well today.
No major liabilities on defense. No one was just killing us. Like, there was no, like, all right, Lamar's really picking on this guy, or they're really running at this, you know, this lineman. Like, there was no weak link of the chain on defense. There's no guy just getting not everyone was perfect, right? Arnett missed some. Trayvon Mullen with a bad penalty. Like, there was, you know, obviously Corey Littleton's giant miss on that first touchdown was hurt. But everyone kind of overcame those. And there's no one that got picked on every quarter. Like, everyone kind of had everyone took their turn making a mistake, except for Max Crosby, but everyone recovered from all those mistakes.
Yeah, except for the line. The line played like lights out. So yeah, the Arnett stuff's gonna happen, dude. Hollywood Brown is a fucking NFL player too. He gets paid too. He's kind of he's gonna do his thing, and he's used to playing with Lamar and likes knows where Lamar likes to go with the ball when he's scrambling. As far as the Littleton thing, that's a little bit more troublesome. He doesn't have probably the best defensive player of our era playing in front of him anymore. And he needs to step up. He needs to step up, and he cannot make those dumb mistakes because that's the kind of shit that happens. So let's focus on the positives. The guys picked them up.
As far as rookies go, that played Leather. What do we talked about? Hot and cold. A lot of cold, but he had some good run blocks. Yeah, he had some good pass. Not great.
Not played great.
Trayvon Morig, he had 5 tackles. No giant plays, but decent. And Nate Hobbs had 2 tackles. So rookies got some work to do. And I think that's that's going to be expected. No giant brain farts from the rookies other than Leatherwood's false start. The other rookies, you know, nothing too flashy, but no major errors. I think that's be something to be excited about. All right, let's wrap it up. Max Crosby, congratulations. You looked absolutely fantastic. I have no problem throwing the ball to Darren Waller 19 times every game. Not a problem whatsoever. Do it. He's not going to drop balls like he did today regularly.
Open 16 of that nine of those 19 times. He was open 16.
Throw the ball to Waller as much as you want. Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue, when Ngakoue was saying we're both going to get double digit sacks, I kind of rolled my eyes. They might be able to do it. They might pull it off. And Jonathan Abram, if there's a most improved award that the Raiders give out every season, he's well on his way. He is well on his way with that fantastic turnaround that he had this season or showing tonight. All right. Well, if that's it, we will see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for the very first live Autumn Windbags here on YouTube. Hey, it's very exciting. RJ, we still have our podcast and everything. Yeah, Soto.
I just want to tell you one thing, man. Go Raiders.
Go Raiders. Until next show.
Go Raiders.
Knock on wood if you're with me.